Hello, this is Daniel Orton, pastor of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church in Marion, Kentucky. It is our desire to see hurting hearts and minds healed as they are born again into the kingdom of God. It is my desire that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help bring you closer to Jesus. I'm having more church, and I'm going to encourage you. The only way that's going to change, do we could have more church and such, is we need people to grow to the place to where we have plenty of people to do everything that needs to be done. I have a goal that what we might end up doing is that 2 o'clock we will go back to having the worship service, and then that morning or that evening or maybe both before it's over, be having small groups meeting. Because I believe that's what we're going to have to end up going to, is small groups to be able to get the teaching in like it needs to be. And the beautiful thing of that is I want to see each and every individual in this church teaching Bible studies, small groups. The revival that God wants to give is bigger than what we can put in this building. It's bigger than what we can put in any building in this city or any church. God has a revival that's bigger than any of those things. You done got that going for me? Thank you. Amen. And I'm thankful. As the year goes, we're getting busy. We all look forward to fall. I don't know about you. It's heat index is over 100 out there today. I don't like it. Maybe you like it. I like it when it's cooler. I don't like it frigid, but I like it cooler than this. But all that is telling us a sign. If you notice the corn starting to turn brown, we're heading towards fall, and that's always a busy time. I'm going to be having Christmas play practice. Before you know it, it'll be Christmas. We're going to get busy like all. We're always busy, I guess. But as we go, my goal is for here and the church in Sturgis and the other churches that we're going to have. If you think this is it, you're kidding yourself. We're going to have more. We have to have more. We have to have more because there's souls dying. Amen. As I don't know what I was doing, but the Lord, I felt like, dropped something in my spirit. Good to see Brittany come in back here. Love you, honey. Come straight from work. That's the way it ought to be. Just because you got to work that day, you can still come to the house of God. Amen. I have two portions of scripture today. We're going to go to the book of Genesis 38:27-30. And then we'll be going to the very first chapter in the book of in the New Testament, book of Matthew. I'm going to read a few verses there. I'm going to read these texts and I will leave them for a few moments. Today, I think somebody is going to have a breakthrough. Today, I believe somebody is going to have a breakthrough.
Amen.
Amen. I sure can get more than one of that. There's some young people that you're going to come out of the place you are where you think that you have to go. I'm going to tell you there now, there's a mentality among our young people and people in this city that just because it's always been like this, this is the way it's always going to be. Today, I'm going to come against that. And today, I believe God is going to help somebody have a breakthrough. Genesis 38, verse 27. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. If you don't, and then this is King James Version vernacular, so let me tell you what happened. This woman is pregnant with twins. And all of a sudden, one of the twins sticks his hand out of the womb of the mama. They tie a red string about it, and he pulls it back in. Verse 29, and it came to pass as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. Everybody say Phares. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. I'm supposing that's how you say that. I'm guessing. So the setting of this is this mom has Two babies inside of her, twins. One thought he was going to come out, and the brother said, I'm breaking out of this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This is what's called the genealogy. They're just giving how the generation went down through here, starting at Abraham. But it said, the book of generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas, this we also know him as Judah, begat Phares, which is also Phares, we just read, and Zerah of Tamar. Everybody say Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. Y'all help me pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for everybody here, God. I ask you would help us, God. I'm praying and believing that destiny is going to happen to somebody's life. Somebody's life is going to be challenged and changed, God. Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you've done so far. And we thank you for what you're fixing to do. In the name of Jesus. Church, say amen. Amen. You may be seated. His name is Roger Bannister. Has anybody ever heard of Roger Bannister? Anybody? Sister Cheryl said, amen. It's only because she knew I was talking about this. Roger Bannister is legendary in the chronicles of sports history. On May 6, 1954, Roger Bannister done something that people said was humanly impossible. Bannister ran a mile in under 4 minutes. Roger Bannister was the first human being that we know of records being kept, was the first human being to ever run a mile in less than 4 minutes. I don't know if any of you have ever done any running, but back when I was younger and healthier, I ran a mile in 6 minutes one time, and I thought I would die. Now I might get it in 60 minutes. I don't know. But people thought we as human beings were incapable of covering that amount of distance in that amount of time. And the record Roger broke has stood, the record that he broke had stood there for 9 years. Previously, in 1945, a Swedish runner by the name of Gunder Haig ran a mile in 4 minutes and 1.4 seconds. Until Bannister, no one had approached Gunder's time or even threatened it. All but a few dreamers thought it could be done. But Roger Bannister just knew that he could break a 4 minute mile. So on May 6, 1954, Roger Bannister done it by running a mile in 3 minutes and 59 seconds. On that day, Roger Bannister became a breaker. Today, I'm looking at some more breakers. Today, for a few moments, I want to preach to you the breaker. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, you're a breaker. Her name was Tamar. Everybody say Tamar. She was a Canaanite woman. She had married the oldest son of Judah, one of the sons of Jacob. We know him as Israel. Her first husband had died. And so by tradition, Judah's second son was to take her into marriage. But unfortunately, Brother Bobby, this man died as well. Judah had another son, but he was way too young to be married at that point. So Judah promised that when the boy gets old enough, I will let you marry that son. But after a little while, she seen that did not happen. So she done something crazy. She done something totally and completely unthinkable. She decided to dress up like a harlot. Does anybody know what a harlot is?
Prostitute.
She stood in a way where she knew Judah would be coming. Judah had just lost his wife. Judah, being a bad boy, decided he wanted to go into this lady. And he went into this lady that was Tamar. And she was playing the harlot. And she went in and she became pregnant by her father-in-law. Anybody ever heard this story before? It is a unique story. So we find this woman, Tamar, whose two husbands died. Then she played the harlot to conceive a child by her father-in-law, Judah. But this woman became an example for every one of us today because she became a breaker. What do you mean, Brother Orton? She became a breaker. You didn't catch it probably as we read the text today, but the very first text I began to read was about this woman because it said when she was in travail, the person that was in travail was Tamar. She was pregnant with them two boys that she was impregnated by her father-in-law by playing the harlot and going inside, going and allowing to sleep with Judah. And this is the story that we begin to read. This is this woman, a woman that was full of shame because all of a sudden this people begin to come to Judah and say, hey, your daughter-in-law, the one that the two husbands died by, she's expecting a child. Judah gets upset, and Sister Michelle, he goes and he gets there and says, you're pregnant, you know what's going to happen, now we've got to kill you. Who is the daddy? Well, she was pretty slick. Because she told, he comes and said, look, I don't have any money to give you for the services you're giving me. And I know this is kind of graphic or whatever, but so I don't have any services, nothing to give you for the services. So he gave her staff and a signet ring. Yep. So when he went back to actually give her money, she was gone because she had a plan. She had a plan, Bobby. And that plan was whenever Judah comes to her and said, who is the daddy? She said, it's by the man that owns these. She handed them to Judah. All of a sudden, Judah's like, oh my goodness. You've been more righteous than I have. Because I told you you could have my son, the last one, and I held him back from you. Because she was a Canaanite woman. She was not a Jewish woman. And she knew what it was like raised up in that family. She had seen the blessings of the children of Israel. She had seen how God had blessed them. And now all she could see was the fact that she was an outcast from that family because her two husbands had died. And all of a sudden, she said, I can't do this. I've got to stay in this family somehow or another. I cannot let this go. I cannot let this heritage that I have found myself in go. But all of a sudden, she found herself in this place when it looked like she was going to be cast out from them. She's going to be a castaway because of who she was and what had happened to her. Put Matthew back up there, Jacob. Is anybody just, when you read your Bible, do you just skip by this stuff? You read the genealogy, you don't think much about it? Look here. The book of generations to Jesus Christ. You know what this says? This is how the bloodline run to get to where Jesus was born. One of the Gospels gives you where it comes down through through Joseph. And the other one shows you where it comes down through Mary. This in here starts at Abraham. It says Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas, which is the father-in-law of Tamar. The story that I was just telling you about. The guy who went into the harlot and had a baby with his daughter-in-law. And look, but it doesn't stop there. And Judas begat Phares of Zerah of Tamar. Yeah. Matter of fact, and Phares begat Ezram, and Ezram begat Aram. We see these kids here. Mm-hmm. What's happening? They broke into the bloodline of Jesus.
That's right.
Somebody that didn't deserve to be in the bloodline of Jesus. Somebody that didn't deserve to have that privilege and that response, that right. But she broke through some things. She overcame her sin. She overcame her shame. She overcame herself. You see, Tamar, she was a victim of other people's unrighteousness. Tamar, it was not her fault. She was a victim of other people's selfishness. She was a victim of other people's promises. She was used. She was abused. You see, Tamar's first husband, the Bible said the oldest son of Judah was Tamar's first husband. And the Bible says was wicked. Anybody know what it said about And God killed him.
Yeah.
That wasn't Tamar's fault. That was her husband's fault. So according to Jewish law, you know what happened? If the husband dies of your brother's, if your brother dies and leaves a wife and don't have any kids, then it's the brother's responsibility to go to that wife, have sexual relations with her, so the blood, so he can continue the bloodline of that man. Now I'm going to be graphic for a second, but you hear enough graphic. So guess what he done? He said, I'm not doing that. He went in and had his pleasure with the lady. But the Bible said he spilt the seed on the ground. You know why he spilt the seed on the ground? Because that was the older brother. And if the older brother has kids, that means I won't get the promise of the inheritance. So he decided, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to spill the seed on the ground. I'll have my pleasure with this lady, but I'm not going to have any kids with her, because if there's kids, it won't be mine. It'll be my brother's. We talk about we've never been in such an evil time. Let me tell you what, the Bible's evil.
Amen.
There are some evil times in the Word of God, and that was evil. And this woman Tamar, it wasn't her fault. And it seemed like her destiny was going to be robbed by someone else's sin and wrong good. But when the younger brother, Onan, was given to her, and he went to her, and he done what he did, guess what? God said, no, you ain't doing that either. So guess what God done? God killed him. And it's not Tamar's fault. Somebody say it's not Tamar's fault.
Not Tamar's fault.
And again, Tamar became the victim of selfishness, fraud, and she could not reproduce because somebody else was trying to control her destiny. Somebody hear me today. Don't let me lose you in the story. Stay with me. Because God killed Onan. And then Judah's third son. He was too young. He was too young. It'd be like Kaysen being sent to marry this woman. Kaysen's like, what? But Judah looked and said, nuh-uh. No. That woman done killed two of my boys. And she ain't getting my third one. So, Allie, you know what he done? Judah said, I'm going to withhold. You're not going to have my son. And the Bible lets us know when that kid got old enough to actually marry her, she realized Judah is not going to keep his promise to me. Judah is not going to follow through. And all of a sudden, she says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this into my own hands. I refuse to be a victim of my past. I refuse to be the victim of what somebody else is trying to do to me. I refuse to be a victim of this stuff. Hallelujah. Judah's wife, well, I done said she died and she done all this stuff. But you know what? All of a sudden we see something begin to happen because this woman said, I refuse to be a victim of my past. I refuse to be the victim of what somebody else has done to me. I refuse that. I'm going to break into my purpose. I'm going to break into the place that the Lord is called, or that the Lord is at. I want to be there. And this Bible says she brings forth her two children. Everybody say Perez. And she's having her children. The first son reaches that hand out. I don't know what happened. I mean, you ladies that had babies, I don't think there's anybody here that had twins in here, right? Nobody? Could you imagine having two of them things in you? This woman had two of them. And Sister Chastity, more than that, they were fighting on the inside. Because there was one that had the same spirit that his mama had. There was one inside of her that something she'd already passed to him before he had ever been born, because mama was a fighter. Mama was one that said, I'm not going to let my past determine my future. And she diverted what the past was trying to do to her, and she broke forth into the lineage of God. But this son must have been something inside of it. He said, okay, brother, you may think you're going out first. I just see him somehow. I didn't have a diaper on, nothing like that. So I don't know what he got a hold of the other arm or whatever, and began to pull him back inside of that womb. And Pharaoh's, he come out of that mother's womb, and he broke forth unexpectedly, praise God, before his twin brother. And you know what his name means? Anybody know what Pharaoh's means? His name means breakthrough. It means the breaker. It means to burst out, to grow and increase, to open, to press forward. We see, let me tell you today, we got to understand something. This man, Perez, he became so inspirational because of his saying, I'm not going to let anybody else get in front of me and get the blessings of God in my life. Because I don't know if the kid heard him talk about it. I have no idea. But when they say kids can hear inside the womb and all this, I just wonder if the Lord opened up that child's ears and let him understand, whoever comes out of that womb first is the one that's going to get the promise of the inheritance of Judah. I wonder if somehow God let that kid, and he said, I'm coming out of here. I'm breaking past this one. I'm not letting nobody get in front of me. And he pushed right on through. He pushed right on through to the point. Hallelujah. Has anybody ever heard of Ruth and Boaz? Anybody? Yeah. Anybody know who that is?
Yeah.
It's another one of them people that didn't belong in the lineage of Jesus. But if you begin to read it in other places, you'll see that she was in there. And you know what they said? Whenever Ruth and Boaz got married, listen to what the children of Israel said to her. May your house be as a house of Perez, the house of breakthrough. What do they say? I'm praying that your children will be blessed just like Perez, with somebody that has a breakthrough mentality. Somebody that says, I cannot stay where I am. Praise God. Listen to me. You know what breakthrough is defined as? It's a military movement or advance all the way through and beyond the enemy's front line of defense. It's an act of instance of removing obstructions, restrictions, the overcoming of a stalemate of any significant or sudden advance, development, achievement, or increase that removes a barrier to progress. I see someone in this church today about to be a breakthrough. Hallelujah. You're going to have a breakthrough and a new place and a freedom that God's going to give you, praise God. It's time for us to break through the walls of empty, dry, dead, mediocre, meaningless, of worshiping and serving God. Hallelujah. It's time to break through in the place, hallelujah, that we can repent and be humble before God. Hallelujah. A place of travailing before God Almighty. Praise God. That's something that will cause us to have a burden for the lost, that will cause us to love, to obey the word of God and live for God. A place that will cause us to submit to the things of God. I'm looking at a group today. You've been through hell. You've been to hell and back. I know most of your stories. I know what you've had to go through. I know the hell. You're just like Tamar. You've had you're suffering for the sins of somebody else, and you feel like it's all being blamed on you. You're suffering just like Tamar. Somebody, no doubt, she felt like that Judah was blaming her for both the husband's death, but the Bible said that God killed them, and that's what some of you are here today. You feel like, just because of my mama and my daddy, I'll never become this. I'll never become that. Just because of this happened, because my name is this, I'll never become what God has called me to be. I'll never be that. But I'm looking at some people today. God is calling you to be a breaker. He's calling you to break through that place. Somebody said, I just don't think you can have. Come here, Texas. Come here. We're going to show you what a breaker is. This is a breaker. This is a breaker. He started a podcast he needs to get going on again. It's called Generational Curse Breakers.
Yep. Amen.
You know why? He's a generational curse breaker.
Yep.
Daddy signed his rights off when he was a baby. Four years old. Daddy signed his rights away. What was the first message he ever preached? I'm talking about that. He made him mad. Hope you don't listen to this one. Might make him mad again. I don't know. Hope not. But something got inside of him.
even through his own mistakes. I'll not forget December of 2014 when he was fixing to make a trip to Evansville and help open a Dairy Queen when he worked at this Dairy Queen. And I talked to him and said, Texas, I don't feel good about that. I'll be okay, man. I'll be okay, man. And you know what he done? He made some mistakes, yeah. And he failed. And beyond his own failure, you know what he done? He came back. He rebounded. He's one of the best young preachers around here. He's talented. He can pick anything he wants up and plays it. How we know, just a little over a year ago, his mom and sister was killed tragically. But praise God, he's breaking through that thing too. This is what a breaker looks like. He's not supposed to be where he's at. He's not supposed to be the pastor's son-in-law. He's not supposed to have the cutest grandson in the world and the best-looking wife in the world. But he broke through his past. He broke through his junk. He broke through his history. He broke through that. He became a generational curse breaker. And guess what? You are no different than him. You can do the same. Some of you, your parents has given you up. Hallelujah. Some of you, you have fallen hell. Some of you, your parents has been the devil to you. Your husband and your spouse has been the devil to you. But let me tell you what, today God has given us the same spirit of Pharaohs, hallelujah, and Tamar, praise God, and says, I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to stay in that place.
Amen.
It's time for supernatural signs. It's time for wonders. It's time for miracles in this house to begin to happen in the people's lives. But God wants somebody here to know that it's time to break through into your destiny that God has called you to be in.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm going to break through. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to break through. I'm not staying here. Some of you young people, you need to hear me today. You better not let your past hold you down. Some of you young adults, you better not let your situation, your circumstances hold you down. None of you in this place has had it any worse than Tamar.
Amen. That's the truth.
Nobody in this place has had it any worse than Tamar. Can you imagine? We don't even know if her mom and dad's anywhere in this situation. We have no idea. All we know is that she was a Canaanite woman. You know what that tells me? She was she came from the wrong side of tracks. Wasn't even supposed to be where she's at. They weren't supposed to marry somebody that wasn't their own kind. So the oldest son went out and married somebody that wasn't even his kind. No doubt. Daddy Judah didn't like it. So what are you doing? He probably gave him down the road. But God had a plan, and God's got a plan for you today.
Amen.
God's got a plan for you. You don't have to stay where you are. You can break out of that. You can be the breaker. You can take just like that hammer, you begin to break some things down in your world. Tear it down. May it look like she was the one that caused the husband's death, but God didn't like what he was doing. It may have looked like that she was the one who caused the death of the second husband, but he had the wrong agenda. It may have looked like that she was being a harlot, but she probably, no doubt she'd done it wrong. Maybe she could have done it a different way. I don't know. But regardless, her motive in there was the fact that I cannot be cast out of this family. I know this is where the blessing is at, and I've got to stay in it. And I know some of you are in that same place. The devil has tried his best to cast you out of this place, cast you out of the kingdom of God. But I wish somebody would get a Tamar spirit, a Pharaoh spirit, and raise up and say, I refuse, I refuse, I refuse. I'm going to break through into my purpose. I'm going to break through in the place that God has called me to be. I'm going to break through.
Yeah.
Tamar was determined. I'm going to have children.
Amen.
That's going to have lineages in this. And somebody needs to make their mind up. Somebody's got to make their mind up. Isaiah 66 and 8:9 says, who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth? Shall the Lord saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith the Lord thy God. I want to tell you what it's time for in this church. Look around us.
We have been bigger than this in body.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure we've been bigger than this in foundation.
Amen. That's true.
Yeah. We've had more people, but I'm not sure we've had the depth that we have.
Amen.
And God is calling us to see children birthed out of this church.
Yeah.
But you hear me today. Me and my family cannot do it by ourselves. The pastor, I don't like what's going on. I don't like the fact that now that you're also a pastor and in Sturgis as well. If you don't like that, you're going to have to be more uncomfortable because God's got more churches because there's more souls to be saved. This ain't about Marion. This is about the kingdom of God. God wants to birth more children, hallelujah, out of every church, out of every area that we go through. And the only way that's going to happen is somebody is willing to break through their dilemma into their destiny. And where is the Therese's of this church?
Amen.
Where are those that's willing to work their way through this and say, you know what? I'm going to get my destiny.
Yeah.
God's called me to be a Bible study teacher, and
yeah,
that's what I'm going to be.
Amen.
God's called me to do this and do that, and I will not let something stop me. The ones who are willing to be a breaker of generational curses. Hallelujah. Where are you today?
Yeah.
When Zion, or when the church travailed, she brought forth her children. We're not going to see a breakthrough until somebody is willing to change.
Yeah.
All right? Let me talk to us, all right? Where there's not going to be a breakthrough to somebody that says, I'm willing to change.
Amen.
Yeah.
What's that mean? You've got to change from what you are. We as humans don't like change. We get set in our modes. By and large, most of us today, you're going to eat breakfast tomorrow the same thing you ate last Monday. We're creatures of habit. You're going to do it a certain way, and we don't like to get out of our mold, and we don't like to change. But in order to birth something, you've got to undergo some stretching. You've got to go through some uncomfortable time. Change is a way of life.
Yeah.
Don't leave well enough alone. Well, I'm happy. I'm comfortable right where I am. No. In God, we need that kinetic energy.
Amen.
We need to release the potential. It's time for us to start moving towards what God has called us for.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'll never forget when Sister Cheryl was ready to have Bethany. And we was walking down that hall to go to the delivery room. She just didn't go, oh yeah, I'm just going to have a baby. No, I'll tell you what she's doing. She was dancing down them halls. Because there was a change coming. She knew that there was something that was fixing to come. There was something fixing to challenge her. And let me tell you what. If you want something new in your life. What?
It wasn't excitement. It was pain.
It wasn't excitement. It was pain. And change brings pain.
Yeah.
You know what kind of pain it brings? It brings pain where sometimes, oh my goodness, I feel the pastor rising up.
Y'all just,
oh God, help me right now. Jesus, I'm fixing to be a pastor. You may like me, you may not. That's okay. You know what change does? It's willing to put some guidelines in your life. As a young person that said, there are some lines I will not cross.
Amen.
As a young lady or a young man, you need to decide, I will get married as a virgin. And if you've already messed that up, say, I will not sleep around anymore.
Amen.
And from this day forward, I'm a virgin. Do I get married?
Amen.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that, but it's truth anyway. Come on. We want change in our life. It's going to take somebody that says, you know what? I've had that in my life long enough that some's going to have to delete Facebook. Some's going to have to delete the apps off your phone. Some's going to have to delete this off your phone. And I'm just being pastor right now because if we want change in this place, it's going to take first a change inside of us. It's going to take putting some guidelines in your life and saying, you know what? There's some things I'm just not going to say.
Amen.
There's some things I'm just not going to watch.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not going to watch.
I'm not going to watch PG-13s that has all of this in it. I'll leave that alone. There's a beautiful thing called, let me out, Plugged In. You can go find any movie you want to watch on Plugged In, and it'll tell you how many words is in there, how many sex scenes is in it, and if it has anything like that, leave it alone!
Amen.
Oh, y'all, you crazy. No, I may be crazy, but I'm the one basking and enjoying the presence and the joy of God, because I'm not putting all that junk in my life in order to have change and have a breakthrough and break through the past of what we were doing. There's going to be a change. Hallelujah. We got to challenge ourselves. There's not going to be a breakthrough. How do you think Tamar just out of blue just said, I know what I'll do. I'll go sleep with Judah and have his kids. No, she didn't just do that out of blue. She began to put a plan together and say, how can I get out of this place? It looks hopeless. He's not going to let me marry that last son. And I've got to have the blessings of God. She began to put a plan together in her mind. Yeah, it might have been a messed up plan. It might not have been the best one, but she had the right motives. Sometimes you may do some things for the wrong, do the wrong thing for the right motive, but God does see our heart and He'll lead us to the right direction. Hallelujah. And hear me today. We got to be willing to challenge ourselves and go beyond where we are, praise God, and realize the only way we're going to be able to do this is we've got to have an attitude of praise in everything we do. Start and basking and just start loving and embracing every good thing of life. Yeah. Tamar and Judah produced Perez. Does anybody have any idea what Judah means?
Praise.
It means praise. Praise broke the curse of injustice. Is that is what Tamar's name means, is injustice. And when praise, hallelujah, gets mixed up with injustice, let me tell you what happens. Breakthrough comes. John Maxwell said, most people are very close to becoming the person God wants them to be. You're only an attitude away. Only an attitude away. That's what needs to change, hallelujah, is our attitude. When we realize, hallelujah, what is my choice whether I do this? It's my choice whether I watch that. It's my choice whether I get mad. It's my choice of whether I be happy. It's my choice if I'm going to have a heart of gratitude and I'm thankful for everything and quit looking at the bad and start looking at the good things, hallelujah. Even if the bad outweighs the good, if you'll concentrate on two good things and not the 15 bad things, those two good things is more powerful than the two bad things. When we use, hallelujah, praise and gratitude and thanksgiving, praise God.
Amen.
An attitude. Another attitude to be able to get beyond, hallelujah, and have this breakthrough in our life is we've got to leave the past behind us.
Amen.
You've messed up. I've messed up. Somebody else messed me up. We've all had them Tamar moments when it was somebody else that done it to me. It wasn't my fault. It was somebody else. My mama dropped me. My daddy dropped me. My mama left me. My this or my that. Come on. Let's get beyond that. It was Paul in Philippians 3:14, I believe, said, forgetting those things which are behind, hallelujah, and reaching forth those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget it. Come on, let's have that Mufasa moment with Simba. What was that for? It don't matter. It's in the past. You can't go back. How many times you heard me say it? Everything God has for you is just far enough. The only way you can ever get it is to let go of the past. I'll never reach that as long as I'm holding on to this. As long as I'm holding on to my past, I'll never reach what God has got for me. And what son needs to do to be able to get beyond where you are is have this attitude that I will not let my past dictate my future. Hallelujah. I'm going to reach forth in my future. That's what Pharaoh said. Oh, no, buddy. You may thought you was going to be born first, but I'm breaking through. I'm going beyond you.
That's the same thing her mama said. You know what? It may look like I'm not going to stay in this family, but I'm staying in this family. I'm staying. And somebody needs to get that in their heart saying, I'm going to stay in the church. I don't care if nobody don't like me. I'm going to the house of God anyway. I'm going to love Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to praise Him. How do we do that? As a church, as individuals, we've got to have focus. We've got to stay focused. Someone said that focus is faith operating consistently until satisfied. Let me tell you that again. Focus is faith operating consistently until satisfied. What do? You stay focused on that thing consistently. You don't stop. You keep going forward until you reach that mark, and then you drive a peg down into it right there and say, this point I will not go back beyond. And I will not stay here. Honey, you can't plateau anywhere. This is the whole purpose of this thing we got, kinetic. We got to keep moving forward. Hallelujah. When we get back up to where we're running 50, we got to say, I'm not happy. When we get the next church started, we say, I'm not happy with that. There's at least 9 more to go. Hallelujah. We can't be happy. When you get your kids in the church, I'm not happy with just that. I want your children in the house of God. We need to get focused. Hallelujah. And everything that we're doing, we got to determine our goal. We got to have a focus point. We got to make sure we know what we're aiming at and what we're believing for. And what we're believing for this year is that everybody in this place has the Holy Ghost. Everybody is bringing a visitor to the house of God. Everybody is involved. Everybody, praise God. We got everybody, hallelujah, teaching Bible studies. Everybody wanting to be involved in small groups. Everybody wanting to be involved, hallelujah, in something, praise God.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about having a breakthrough. Something birthing in this place. Something birthing in individuals. How many knows that you can't have a birth, though, if you don't know how to breathe?
That's true.
Anybody do the breathing for me? Oh, come on, somebody. I see you. You know what that means? You know what it means? You know why they want you to breathe? Anybody know why they want you to breathe?
So you don't pass out.
I want you to. I want you to relax. And honey, we're not going to have no breakthrough if we don't learn how to relax and trust God. Because when you're about, my wife was talking about it, it's because of the pain.
Yeah.
And if you can relax and say, okay, God, you put me here for a reason. That's what I've done here a while back. I was very transparent the other night. I appreciate those was able to come. And I was very transparent the other night. There was a point not too long ago, the family left or somebody left, and I went over and I basically fell on my wife. I began to weep and cry. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm so sick of this. I was, oh God, I'm just going to be honest with you. This has been hard the last 2 years, and it's not your fault. Been my fault because I've lost my focus. I quit trying to break through. I quit trying to break into that place. I've totally, completely lost my focus. I forgot what I'm here for. God called me here to try to see people saved. He called me here to find more Texases. Hallelujah. I seen this morning one of my memories where John Autry had shared about somebody ready to go to the house of God. I'm thinking, God, that's why I was there. John Autry's in heaven right now. Donnie is in heaven. Hallelujah. Jack is in heaven, praise God. And some more. That's why God sent me here. And there's some more that God's planning on being in heaven, praise God. And I forgot to just relax. You try to start being God, that's when you stop relaxing. When you start trying to be God, that's when you stop relaxing. Because we try to fix it ourselves. Honey, you ain't God. You can't do it. You can't make people do things. You can't force anybody to do anything.
Yeah.
The only thing you can do is trust God. Pray and seek Him and trust Him. Hallelujah. And hear me. When we learn how to breathe, praise God. We learn how to labor to enter into the rest of what God has given me. Praise God. Oh, come on. There's not going to come a breakthrough in our lives until we learn how to trust God. And we was on the way. We was on the way to Sturgis to church. And I looked at Sister Cheryl. I said, you know what? God, for some reason, has placed me in this position between these two churches.
churches, and all I know to do is trust Him. Hallelujah. And Sister Brittany, since that time, I've been trusting the Lord, saying, okay, God, I can't do this. This is beyond me. This is bigger than me. I'm not capable of doing this. Hallelujah. And I've been trusting. And now there's two that have been filled with the Holy Ghost in Sturgis. And there's somebody got the Holy Ghost here last week, praise God, during our youth week. And some more that's going to get the Holy Ghost. And there's some more that's going to get renewed. There's going to be some more that's going to break through. Praise God. When we learn how, praise God, oh, to go through this. And we can't be limited by what seems impossible. We can't be limited by what others say is impossible. Me and my wife was talking to someone yesterday that said the same thing to us when they found out we was coming to Marion. I had a tent revival down there many years ago. Didn't much happen. That's a hard place. Is my elder, so I didn't want to say anything, but I know that the Bible says, is anything too hard for God? I cannot be limited what seems to be impossible. It seems impossible to me that I can pastor two churches and keep and still working. And sooner or later, God's going to make a way. Well, I don't got to do that. But if He adds another church before I'm still working, it seems impossible to me. But with God, all things are possible. What am I doing? I'm breaking through. I'm breaking through what people says is impossible. And when it looks like we can't go any farther, you know what we need to do? We got to push.
Yes.
Push until something breakthrough
yes.
and comes. That's what every one of you mothers that birthed that child in your life, in order for you to have a breakthrough of your birth in your life, you didn't just lay there and say, okay, just fall out, baby. Yeah, it looks like, I've seen a few videos where it looked like that might have happened. I promise you, there was some pain involved. My wife said there was pain. It didn't all involve her. I had the scratches on my neck. But I know she was hurting. I know she was. And you know what? It got that point where she had to push with everything she had. Or her and Bethany was fixing to die. And she pushed. Because when trying times are here, it's not a time to quit. Yeah, we've been tried, but it's not a time to quit. Quitting is not an option. Don't give up. Some have quit and lost their birthright. This is not my original, but somebody needs to hear this right now. The brink of disaster and the brink of the supernatural look a whole lot alike. Let me say that again. The brink of disaster and the brink of the miraculous looks a whole lot alike.
Yes, yes.
You can't have a miracle unless there one's needed. Mm-hmm. Amen? As Bethany comes, I'm fixing to close. There's a breaker. There's breakers in this house today. You know what there is in this house today? There's missionaries. Some of you are not going to stay in this church. God's going to call you to be a missionary. There's pastors to the other churches that God's going to allow us to be a part of. It's in this place today. There's Sunday school teachers. There's bus drivers. There's other musicians that God's called to be up here. How I love to hear her sing, but how long are we going to let her sing by herself? All you got to do is ask. Honey, listen to me. This place is sacred. I want anybody and everything to come and be in the house of God. But those who lead, now that's a whole other sermon in itself. Those who lead need to make sure that they are living a life, praise God, that is righteous. Because whatever people put in, whatever you put in front of you is what you will produce. So we're not just putting, and that's why not everything gets behind this pulpit and preaches. I make sure I know who's preaching. Because I don't want somebody, because here's the thing, whether you like it or not, right now, you are susceptible to my voice. My voice is affecting you. So whatever we're hearing, whatever we're seeing, that's why it's important. You can't watch anything you want to watch.
You can't listen to anything you want to listen to. We got parents in here or not, but let me tell you right now.
If you're watching movies at your house that's got cursing coming out of it and you hear your kid curse, don't you dare whoop him. You whoop yourself.
Because they repeat what they see.
We repeat what we see. It don't slip out. Oh my gosh, how did I get here all of a sudden? I got one more point to get there. It don't just slip out, honey.
The Bible said, whatsoever goes in will come out.
You got a cussing problem? Check what you're listening to, what you're watching. You got a problem with lust? Check what you're watching, what you're listening to. You can break out of that. You can break out of that place. I'm talking about today. Because here's the beauty of Tamar. Isaiah 61 and 7 says, for your shame you shall have. Anybody know what it says? Double. And for the confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. If I could inspire somebody to be a breaker today, I'm telling you what's going to happen. Be prepared for the double portion blessing. Because when God does it, He does it right. Tamar said, I want to break through into that family. I want to be a part of that family. And you know what God done? God didn't give her one son. God gave her two sons. God gave her a double portion. What is a double portion? It deals with the inheritance. It's more than the natural possession. That's what Isaiah 61 and 7 says. Instead of your shame, you shall have a double portion. You know what God wants you to do? He not only wants you to break through. But Texas, not only did He let you break through in the ministry, but He let you break through in double, having a beautiful son, having a beautiful wife, hallelujah, and God giving you all the blessings that He gave. That can be you today. That can be me today. But we got to be willing, praise God. It should be the guideline of our expectation of restoration in life. God don't just restore you, but He restores double. Listen to me, it's biblical. Exodus 22 and 4 says this, if a thief be caught with a living animal, he shall restore double. You know what that means? That means that the devil has stole something from you. God says, I don't want to just give you back what was yours. I want to give you back double. And the thief has stolen some things from you. The thief has stolen your childhood. The thief has stolen your marriage. The thief has stolen your finances. The thief has stolen so many things. But I want to tell you right now, God wants to give you double. It's Elijah and Elisha. Elijah said, what do you want when I leave here? He said, I want double of what you got, man of God. Elijah done 7 miracles. You know how many Elisha done? 14. Come on, as you stand with me, I have one more thing to say and I'll be done. I heard this said this week. We've heard this saying all of our life. You can lead a horse to the water, but can anybody finish it? You can't make him drink. I heard a preacher saying he was saying this in Sagana Ministers meeting. He said this elder minister kind of corrected him. He said, son, let me tell you something. That ain't totally true. You can't make him drink, but you can give him enough salt that he will. You can't make him drink, but you can give him enough salt that he'll thirst for it. So today, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make somebody thirsty enough that says, I want that for my life. And it's for everyone in this place. It's for every person in this place. And here,
here's the beautiful thing. I'm not just using Texas because he's my son-in-law. I'm using him because he's an awesome young man and he broke the curse. He is a breaker. He is the example. And I know some more of you out here are today, but he is a breaker. He broke what looked like the generational curse. Just another statistic. A young man raised by his mama only. And then his mama and his sister is taken out. And he finds himself in his own household outside, his dad and all that on the other side. He finds himself alone. But he became a breaker. And this is my message to us today. If he can do it, so can you. If he can do it, so can you. Sister Cheryl talking to somebody yesterday, talking about this young lady right here, us coming down here, finding her laying right here, weeping and crying and screaming because of the anxiety and the junk she's fighting. But look where she's sitting right now. She's a breaker. She's a breaker. Raised in a preacher's home. Raised in a pastor's home. You wouldn't thought that would happen. Honey, we ain't perfect. And she laid here crying and weeping. Hallelujah. The poet. I ain't about to. We're praying through whatever we can. But look at her today. She's a breaker. It was impossible to break the 4-minute mile until Roger Bannister did it. But Brother David, once he did, 46 days after Bannister broke the 4-minute barrier, an Australian lowered the record even farther by breaking it once again. Once Bannister proved it could be done, many other people began to step up to the plate and they began to break the record. Today, over 350 runners have surpassed the 4-minute mark. John Walker did it 129 times. Steve Scott did it 136 times. Bannister ran a 3-minute and 59-second mile. But today, the record today is 3 minutes and 43 seconds. Has not been broken in almost 20 years. But Sister Chastity, I bet you somebody else is going to break it. I bet you somebody else is already watching it. I bet you somebody else has already got their sights on it. Somebody else has already got focus. Somebody else is already working on it, praise God. I'm asking this church today, I'm telling you, you are a breaker. You don't have to stay where you are. You're not bound by your family. You're not bound by your last name. You're not bound by your past or the past that somebody else has chosen for you. You are a breaker because Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hallelujah. If God be for me, who can be against me? I wish somebody, I don't care if it's at an altar crying and praying, or somebody would just come up here and say, you know what, that preacher's right. I'm not going to stay where I am. I'm going to be a generational curse breaker. I'm going to be a breaker, hallelujah. I'm not going to be stuck in this hole all my life. I want my double portion. I want my double. I want to be a Tamar. I want to have a Therese, hallelujah. I want to be in the lineage of Jesus. I'm going to break through to this. I'm going to break through to the miracle. I'm going to break through to my victory. I'm going to be a breaker for my family. I'm going to be the first one to get the Holy Ghost, and then my mama's going to get it. Then my daddy's going to get it. Hallelujah. Then my brothers and sisters are going to get it. Hallelujah. I'm going to be a breaker in my school. Hallelujah. I'm going to start a P7 club. I'm going to start a Bible study in my school. I'm going to see people be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on. I wish somebody would cry out to God. Say, I'm going to be a breaker. I'm going to break this hold. I'm not staying here. I want my double portion.